Here's Seamus Toomey from Block Club Chicago with extremely local news today. And happy snowy, wintry Wednesday morning, Seamus. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm glad I'm not on the Kennedy Expressway, but my wife has to travel these roads, so I told her to stay the heck away after listening to Steve and Mary's reports.
Yeah, it's crazy out there. We'll get an update again in just a couple of minutes here. Let's talk first about the restaurant losses and whether they're covered by insurance and a lawsuit about that. What's going on?
Yeah, this is a really interesting a couple of cases in court right now that are going to be watched by certainly restaurants all over the city, if not more, at least in the Northern District of Illinois. The first one is, you know, one of the most famous restaurants and bars we have in Chicago, the Billy Goat Tavern. They are suing their insurance company because they were denied. They filed a claim because they're shut down right now. They filed a claim saying this was a direct physical loss to their business, and the insurance company denied it, saying, no, that's not covered under your policy. They immediately filed in federal court to get a judge to rule on this. And there's a similar exact case against the same company, Society Insurance, by a group named the Big Onion Tavern Group, which you've never heard of, but you've heard of their restaurants. They've got about a dozen in Chicago, bars, Fat Poor, Hopsmith, the Irish Oak, as well as some of the theaters, in the suburbs as well. So the issue at hand is, obviously, is a state-mandated shutdown that costs you money, is that a quote-unquote direct physical loss under your policy? A flood would be. If water came and wiped out all of your food in your kitchen, that would be covered under these policies. But if you're open only for carryout, does that count? And right now, it's they're really squaring off to figure out, is that covered under the policy? Some policies specifically exclude communicable disease shutdowns, which is, you know, a very good foresight on some lawyer's point to throw that in there. But it's really going to come down to a federal judge if he or she wants to hear this case and make a ruling, which would cost, obviously, millions and millions of dollars all around.
I know one thing for sure. If you're trying to call an insurance company, you better have a lot of time on your hands because you'll be on hold all day. By the way, that holds true for credit card companies, government agencies these days. It's just hard to reach anybody. So it'll be interesting to follow that and other court cases regarding that question. Let's move on to Westridge and some helping hands in that area. What are they doing?
Right. We've talked about this before, just about how Westridge on the far north side is one of the hardest hit areas of Chicago right now when it comes to confirmed cases, you know, keeping in mind that we know this virus is everywhere in the city and in the area. But in particular, Westridge has had about twice as many cases as a lot of other neighborhoods, including four confirmed deaths at a nursing home on Toohey Avenue. Westridge is such a diverse neighborhood. I mean, there's the Pakistani neighborhood, there's the Indian neighborhoods, there's the Orthodox Jewish neighborhoods, and a lot of these groups are now sort of bonding together to try to get both information out to folks in multiple languages and putting signs up in windows, but also more direct help in terms of grocery deliveries, direct cash for people that need it. It's really a wide group of folks. I could name a couple of them. The Illinois Muslim Civic Coalition's involved, the American Pakistani Foundation, the Islamic Circle of North America. Alderman Deborah Silverstein's office is helping coordinate a lot of this. It's really, you know, we talk a lot about this, you know, as everyone's huddling together, how groups are coming together and really sort of helping, you know, showing their neighborly spirit and really pitching in. And we're definitely seeing that in Westridge.
And we're talking about the area on the far north side and a lot of those businesses up on Devon Avenue, right?
Yeah, Devon has just been, you know, somewhat of a ghost town. There's so many restaurants, Indian restaurants and Pakistani restaurants there, and some of them are doing carry out, some of them are not, and it's just been, you know, very quiet, and all these folks are, you know, just like people all over the city, all over the country, all over the world are really just struggling to eke by in these weeks and hopefully not months ahead of us.
And meanwhile, on the south side, the first drive-through testing site is going strong, and Roseland Community Hospital is right in the center of all this, aren't they?
Yes, you know, Roseland, they did get their drive-through testing site for, you know, for people, first responders, for hospital workers, and for people that are that have exposure and symptoms. They've been doing it now for a little bit, and really, as the governor said, this is a key part of us going forward, is figuring out, you know, who has it, who do we need to isolate, and who is safe to perhaps join the battle outside. But Roseland's CEO Tim Egan had said, he put out a call to the community. They've got all these folks down there, they're working these tents and these drive-throughs. They, you know, could someone in the community help feed these people? This is, you know, a community effort again, just, you know, just far south side, far north side, everywhere. And it was kind of a cool story because there's a couple new restaurants in Pullman, and Pullman, as people who live down there know, they don't get many new businesses down there too often. They had just opened a food hall on 111th Street, and now they're only doing carryout as well, obviously. So they're struggling, but local bank, U.S. Bank down there, donated $25,000 to these restaurants so they could package food and deliver it to the hospital workers and the patients at Roseland Hospital. This is Majani's Soul Food Cuisine and Lexington Betty Smokehouse, which we wrote about a couple weeks ago how she had just opened. So this is really, really tough to try to get your business off the ground in this fashion. But she said, listen, we need to all band together. You know, we can do this. This is our business of feeding people, whether we got to just pack it all up and move it over to Roseland Hospital, no problem. So the first meals went out Thursday. They say they're committed to doing this for many weeks. And we've got some pictures on our website of all of the meals that they laid out. And it's stunning, just the repetition of all of this food and the rice and the cookies and the and the soul food. It looks really good. And, you know, we've heard lots of positive feedback from the workers that were just sort of relieved to get a hot meal so they can keep on working.
Yeah, we'll check that out on the site, blockclubchicago.org. Also, we should give a shout-out to U.S. Bank because they've been helping out, donating a lot of money, haven't they?
Right. You know, U.S. Bank, you can see it from the expressway down there. It's one of the biggest businesses down in the Pullman area. They stepped up. Their foundation gave a lot of money to support this. So it's that and the Chicago Neighborhood Initiatives were sort of the folks behind the scenes, putting all these groups together and making sure they're all helping each other. So it's a good neighborhood story how they're all pitching in together.
Yep, good news. We like that, especially these days. Thanks, Seamus Toomey. Have a good day, sir.
Thank you, Bob.